encouraged, strengthened. Appreciate all the brethren, all the churches that help our mission work. Brother Jeff Lawrence left for Australia last week. He let us know that he arrived safely. Brother Phillips called Thursday and we talked. He said Brother Jeff was there doing well, taking care of as much of his own business as he could. And that which he couldn't handle, he asked Brother Phillips to help him. He is in need of an automobile. He needs about $20,000 yet to get him an automobile and some other things that he needs. But I can assure you that if he doesn't get another dime, Brother Jeff will do the work. He has to do without it. He's trusting the Lord. He went by faith. The Faith Baptist Church, Murray, Kentucky, is going to be having our annual Memorial Day weekend Bible conference. It'll be on Friday evening, all day Saturday, May the 24th and the 25th. Service will begin on Sunday evening at 7 and then at 10 o'clock on Saturday morning. So we invite you to come. And as always, wherever we go, and we announce this conference, wherever we go, we check the distance, the mileage. And it's the same distance either way you go. If you live here in Mount Morris, you're not going to have to spend any more go down any more miles than what took us to get up here. We'll always check it out. You're welcome to come. We always have a good time in the Lord. God's always blessed us in it. We're looking forward to that. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 16. In the book of Matthew, chapter 16, Brother Jones and I one time, several years ago, were invited to a Bible conference. They allotted both of us 30 minutes apiece to preach our message. When we arrived there together. One of the brethren said, Brother Hall, said all the preacher brethren got together and took the toll. No one agreed. No one said that they believed you or Brother Jones, either one, could preach 30 minutes and quit. So we preached our introductions and quit. Hey, one came around and said, best I ever heard you fellas preach. I'm just kidding about that part of it. In the book of Matthew, chapter 16, verse 18, Jesus is doing the speaking. And I say, that ought to be enough, shouldn't it?
That's right.
And I say,
yeah.
And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Lord willing, if you'll pray for me, I'd like to preach the whole thing, staying within my time, the kind of church you need. The kind of church you need. Every Baptist church member here today, just ask yourself the question, what kind of church do I really need? Every Baptist preacher, what kind of church do you need? Every Baptist pastor here this afternoon, ask yourself the question, what kind of church do I really need? Well, I believe the Word of God is able to tell us the kind of church we need. First of all, everyone needs the kind of church that Jesus built.
Amen.
But I want you to notice this kind of church that the Bible's talking about. The kind of church that you need this afternoon is the kind of church in which Jesus Christ is the founder, the foundation, and the builder all in one. That He is the founder, the foundation, and the builder. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, Jesus said, I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, And upon this rock, I will. I will. That tells me that Jesus Christ is the founder. Amen. That He is the originator of His kind of church upon this earth. Amen. So in thinking about what kind of church we need the kind of church in which Jesus Christ Himself is the founder. Amen. He said, I will. I will what? I will found my own kind of church. I will have my kind of church. And He is the originator of the original. Amen. And there is no other. Amen. Than that which originates from Jesus Christ Himself. But not only is He the founder, but Jesus said, and I kind of like it like this, I'm not changing scriptures, but I thought about this, I will upon this rock. Or upon this rock, I will. So we find the founder, the originator of the Lord's kind of church saying that I will upon this rock. He Himself. That He is both the founder and the foundation upon which He brings about His kind of church. So He is the founder. He is the foundation. That foundation will never be removed, nor will it ever be moved. But not only is He the founder, the foundation, but He is the builder. Jesus said, upon this rock, speaking of Himself as the foundation, I will build my church. He didn't say, I will build all kinds. But He said, I will build my kind of church. Amen. And that's the kind of church that you need. Amen. You need the kind of church that Jesus Christ Himself founded during His own personal ministry. He builds it upon Himself as the foundation, the solid rock. And He does it of Him all, by His own power. I will build. In the book of 1 Corinthians, and then we'll move on. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We'll read this and then I'll move on to the next point. Time goes pretty fast when you're up here. Down there you think, yeah, we'll get finished. I've already seen you yawn, lean over on one hand. Well, just be careful. I've been known to wake them up. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. The Apostle Paul, speaking to the local New Testament, visible body of baptized believers known as the church in Corinth. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9, Paul says, for we are laborers together with God. You, that local church of Corinth, are God's husbandry. You are God's building. In other words, they belonged to God. He is the one that planted them there in the church at the city of Corinth. He said that you are His building. You are His work. Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church. And in the book, and in the city of Corinth, we find that Jesus Christ, Paul said, we are laborers together with God. For what? Planting, building upon that foundation, which is none other than Jesus Christ. You are God's building. So the kind of church that we need is Jesus Christ, who is the builder. That kind of church. Secondly, the kind of church that we need this afternoon is the kind of church in which Jesus Christ is the head. And I believe that's important. And I believe that every young preacher here today, and I thank God for those young preachers and those men who have recently began to venture out by the grace of God doing mission work. Even here in the United States of America, and as well as in other parts of the world. But it thrilled my heart to hear of those who are going out. But what are we going out for? We go out for the purpose not only to preach the gospel, but to organize and establish the Lord's kind of churches. what the Bible says. But we need the kind of church in which Jesus is not only the builder, the founder, and the foundation, but we need the kind of church where Jesus Christ is the head of that particular church. In the book of Ephesians chapter 1. In the book of Ephesians chapter 1. We'll just read verses 22 and 23 for sake of time. But in verses 22 and 23, the Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, the same kind of church that was in Corinth, the same kind of church that was in Jerusalem during the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ, in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, talking about Jesus, and has put all things under His feet and gave Him, Jesus Christ, to be the head over all things to the church. So Jesus Christ is the head over the church. But now listen to this. He's not finished yet. Has given Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Every one of the Lord's churches that He builds is His body. He is the head of His own body, the church. That's what I'm talking about, folks. We need to realize what kind of church we really need. We need the kind of church that the Apostle Paul says, which is the church, His body. He is the head over His body, the church. Somebody says, well, now, is there a difference between the body and the church? Now listen to this. Turn with me to flip in the book of Colossians chapter 1. Now remember in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 22 and 23, Paul says that Jesus Christ is the head over all things to the church, which is His body. Now Paul just turns it around, the book of Colossians chapter 1. He turns it around in the book of Colossians chapter 1. We begin reading in verse 16, talking about Jesus Christ. For by Him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him, Christ Jesus, and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist, and He is the head of the body, the church. You can't separate them, folks. You cannot separate the body of Christ and the church of Jesus Christ. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. So we need to have that kind of church in which Jesus Christ is the head. Every one of those New Testament churches that belong to Jesus Christ is His body. Now listen to me carefully. Each one of the Lord's bodies has the authority to produce another body just like them. Every one of the churches that belong to Jesus Christ has authority to produce another church or another body of Jesus Christ just like themselves. That's the only way they ever get into existence, folks. They don't come any other way. They come through the church, which is His body. They come through His body, which is His church. The Spirit of God works in the body of the Lord, of the Lord's church, to bring forth New Testament churches. I don't have any trouble with that at all. You see, the same kind. Well, let me show you that. In the book of John chapter 15. In the book of John chapter 15. And we'll just read verse 16. This is what he says. Now you got to be careful when you read the New Testament scriptures, because they are church scriptures. They have to do with the church. In verse 16 of John chapter 15, Jesus is talking to His church. which is his body, and he is its head. All right, now listen. In verse 16, Jesus said, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." Now, I do believe that God has an elect people. He elected them before the foundation of the world. I also believe that within that elect people, Jesus Christ also has an elect people. And with those elect, he builds his kind of church. He builds his kind of church. You say, how do you know that? Because Jesus just told this first church, "You have not chosen me, I have chosen you." You see that? He chose them as a church. I mean, he chose them individually, but he put them in this kind of church. So he said, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you." He ordained that church for what purpose? That you should go and bring forth fruit. I want you to notice that it's not fruits, but fruit. The same kind of fruit. What kind of fruit, Brother Hall? The same kind of fruit as which they are, the Lord's kind of church. They have their authority. They are the body of Christ. He has given them that authority. Now, I know that there are those who say, "Well, Brother Hall, I believe your way is the best way." Well, I do too, but I believe it's the only way. You can look at it two ways. If it's the best way, it ought to be the only way. But since it is the only way, it is the best way. We have the authority to produce bodies of Jesus Christ. Someone said one time, "I don't know why Brother Hall wants to dwell upon the church so much. What difference does it mean? What difference does it have to do with the blood of Jesus Christ? Why don't he preach about Jesus?" I cannot help but when I preach about Jesus, preach about his body. They are one. When I preach about his body, I have to preach about him. Because the church is the body of Jesus Christ, and he is their head. He is their head. Listen to me. I love this. Thought about it very carefully. But each church of the Lord Jesus Christ is a living, visible body, a real body, a living, visible body of baptized believers. Living and working by the power of the Spirit of God within them to produce the same kind of churches which is his body as in the beginning. Living bodies made up of living members. Each one of them. But each one of those bodies are local, visible bodies of baptized believers. They're not just one great big universal invisible thing, but they are local, visible. That's the kind of church we need. Then thirdly, very quickly, we need the kind of church in which the Holy Spirit of God is the director. Where the Holy Spirit of God is the director. You read the book of Acts, folks, and it's not the Acts of the Apostles, it's the Acts of the Spirit of God working through the churches. I can't help but read through the book of Acts and see churches, churches, churches. By the work of the Holy Spirit of God through His churches. But He is the director. In the book of Ephesians, once again, Acts chapter 13, I know it's already been spoken of couple of times maybe during the conference, but in the book of Acts chapter 13, we read verses 1 and 2. But in Acts 13, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says, "Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted," the Holy Ghost said. Hey, remember in Matthew chapter 6, chapter 16, when Jesus said, "And I say," here he is still working. Here he is still working, directing. "The Holy Ghost said, separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them." Who called them? Holy Spirit of God. For what? For the work which he had called them to do. You want to know who the director of our mission work is? At the Faith Baptist Church of Murray, it is the Spirit of God. He is our director. He directs the church in all of its works and its activities. But that's the kind of church we need, where Jesus Christ is the founder, the foundation, the builder, the head, and the director by His own Holy Spirit. When Paul went out to do mission work, they attempted to go into one area. The Spirit of God forbade them to go. They turned and started toward another direction. The Spirit of God said, "No, not there either." Until the Spirit of God revealed to the Apostle Paul where he was to go, Paul just kept following the direction of the Holy Spirit. But once he found where he was to go, Luke says, "And we all went together into Macedonia, assured that God had called us to preach the gospel to them." The Spirit of God is the director. We better move on to the next one. I want you to notice, fourthly, the kind of church you need is the kind of church in which the Word of God is the authorized book of instruction. The Word of God, and I like the King James Version, folks, I believe that's the book. That's the book that I was saved under. That's the book I've been taught under. I believe the Word of God is the authorized book of instructions for any New Testament Baptist church. Look with me in 1 Timothy chapter 3. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, me being the last speaker, folks, you don't know how tempting it is to just turn loose and just go. But I'm trying to be nice, trying to be orderly, brother Titus. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 14, Paul writing to a New Testament preacher in his day, "These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself," where? "In the house of God." That's where Jesus Christ abides. "In the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." When I want to find out something, folks, I'll ask a Baptist. The Lord's kind of churches are the pillar and ground of the truth. Not just parts of it, but all of it. He has given unto His kind of churches His truth. We have been entrusted with all the Word of God as His kind of church. I don't want to be a member or pastor of a church in which they only have been entrusted, or they only have grasp of some of the truth. But I want to be a member. I want to organize the kind of churches where the Word of God is the book, the authorized book of instructions. And I asked Brother Mark when he got down, I said, "Did you use all your time?" I don't think he could tell me, because I've already lost track of mine. Brother Hammond lost track. But I thought, "Man, if you've got about 5 minutes, I'll borrow it from you." And I'm going to close with this. The kind of church you need, last of all, is the kind of church in which the Lord Jesus Christ is her coming bridegroom. Think about it. The kind of church you need is the kind in which Jesus Christ is her coming bridegroom. You have any trouble with that? Not me. You know why? Because Jesus said, I say. Listen in the book of John chapter 14. Now you just listen carefully to this. A lot of time, about the only time people ever hear John 14 verses 1 through 3 is at a funeral service. He's talking to his New Testament church, the only one he had upon the earth at that time, the first one. He founded it. He founded upon himself as the foundation, and he is the builder. But I want you to notice what he says to her, beginning in verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. He's talking to them as a church. Let not you believe in God. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house. Now wait just a minute. In my Father's house are. Now, Brother Garner Smith, does that word are mean already? They are already. All right, now listen to this. In my Father's house are already many mansions. He said they're already there, mansions. I believe that. But that's not all he said to this church. If it were not so, I would have told you. But now listen to what he says to his church, which is the bride, which is his bride. I go to prepare a place for you. Did you get it? I go to prepare a place for you. There are already many mansions. Folks, I believe that with all of my heart. There are already many mansions in the days of Jesus Christ. And every one of those mansions were built for somebody, but not for Parvin Hall. Because he said unto me, as a member of one of his kind of churches, he said, I go to prepare a place for you. Well, why? He said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there you may be also. Go with me to the book of Hebrews chapter 11. In the book of Hebrews chapter 11. In Hebrews chapter 11 verses 8. Through 10. You just pray God will let me settle down just for a minute now. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing where he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles or in tents. Dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Why did he live in tents down here upon this earth? For because he looked for a city. He looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Listen to me. Jesus Christ has gone to prepare a place for his bride to be. It's called New Jerusalem. It's called the city of God. It is the city of pure gold. It is the greatest, grandest, largest city that will ever be built. And he's coming for his bride. Not only for his bride, but he's coming for her to take her home. The place where He prepared for her. Not every saved child of God is going to live in the city of God. I believe God the Father and God the Son will be in that city. And I believe God the Father will have His wife, which is made up of those Jews, which has claimed for Himself, and Jesus Christ will have His church, His bride at her side. They shall live and dwell there forever in the city. The others who are saved will come in and go out. The nations of the earth that have been saved, they're going to come in. They're going to bring their glory into the city. That's all right, folks. When Santa and I got married, I didn't marry her whole family. I didn't take them home with me. I took her home with me. They're welcome to come in and also go out at any time. But they're not permanent residents. The kind of church you need. I mean, we're in serious business. I mean, we've got something. No one and many others never know anything about her ever. When I talk about the kind of church you need, this is the kind I'm talking about, folks. I'm not talking about going out and get you a great big number of people, gather them together and say, declare yourself to be a church, and you say, man, look what I've got. I'm talking about the kind of church Jesus was talking about when He said, I say. I say. The kind of church you need. You can find it when you come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And if it pleases Him not only to save you, but to reveal unto you the need to be scripturally baptized by His kind of church. And the Bible says that God has set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased Him. Listen, I'm not out to add anybody. God does the adding. If they come and stay, they're genuine. If they come and go, I'll take the blame for that one. But you see, it's His church. And that's the kind we need. I pray to God that we'll stay with it until He comes. Because I believe we ought to be looking and listening. He's coming anytime. May God bless you.